would like to take this opportunity to start this evening's meeting by wishing you all very welcome here tonight, and a special welcome to our speaker, Mr. Rowan Patterson, and of course the boys, parents and all the friends of Carnarvon Coaching for Christ. It's a privilege to have them here at our church tonight, and I hope that they do feel genuinely very welcome among us tonight. And I would just like to also take this opportunity, just on behalf of the coaches of Carnarvon, just to extend a word of thanks to my fellow deacons and the church as a whole, just for really supporting us throughout now the two seasons that we've been running. And of course, saying we wouldn't have a team, and by the way, our team's actually top of the league at the minute. So, but I would like just to thank the parents as well for sending the lads out faithfully to us. And just it's a great opportunity to work with your boys, just to be able to tell them on a Tuesday night just about the Lord Jesus and what he's done for them. So just like to get started then. And start off, if you hope I'm starting.
Thank you, Rodney. And it's lovely to have you all here tonight, and we give you all a warm welcome. And there's different ones taking part in the service, and we're going to stand and sing our opening praise, and you'll see that they come up on the screens. Jesus is the name we honour. Jesus is the name we praise. Now, there are some of you who may not know these pieces, but we know them, and so try and join in. And then after this, I'll just give this in blocks of threes. I'm not going to get up every individual item here. We sing now, and then Gavin Laurie is going to open in prayer, and then Matthew McBride is going to come and read the scriptures. So Jesus is the name we honour.
Sleep, dream of all other dreams. Let's all pray. God, our loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time here tonight. Lord, we do indeed thank you for this church, and Lord, the opportunity we have just to come in and to worship you here tonight. Lord, we do pray now for Mr. Owen Patterson, as he will just bring your message to us later. That, Lord, that the words that you have laid in his heart just to bring before us will challenge each person in here tonight. And Lord, that each of us will know when we leave here that we have met with the true and living God. And Lord, I do just thank you for the boys and their families who have gathered in tonight. Lord, I thank you for the boys who come along faithfully every Tuesday night to training and then turn up on a Saturday to play, Lord, and for the effort that they put in, Lord, to that football and to that work. But Lord, I also thank you that, Lord, every Tuesday night they do hear a gospel message. And Lord, I do thank you for the word that is just laid in their hearts faithfully week by week. Thank you, Lord, for the coaches who come along, Lord, and just work with the boys and give their time. And Lord, we do thank you for the church here and for the support that they just give to the team, Lord, financially and more importantly, spiritually and prayerfully, Lord. So we do just thank you for this time here tonight. We pray, Lord, that you will be with us, Lord, as we continue to meet in your presence, as we sing your praises, that, Lord, we will glorify and that we will want to lift your name on high. So, Lord, do be with us. Do be with those who will take part tonight, Lord, for, Lord, the boys and for the different coaches, Lord, who will just take part throughout the evening. And we pray, Lord, that through it all, that your name will be glorified and, Lord, that we will know that we have met with the true and living God. So again, we just thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your love to each one of us. And we pray that you will continue with us now, Lord. Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 9 to 10. Young man, be filled with joy while you are young, and let your heart be happy while you are a young man. Follow the ways of your heart and the desires of your eyes, but know that God will judge you for all these things. So put away trouble from your heart and put away pain from your body, because the years of your youth are going by fast. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them.
So great verses to be applied by the youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So I have here an update, Coaching for Christ, Andrew Knox. Where's Andrew? I have to say this, Andrew's my son-in-law. So, and after this we're going to sing again, all right.
Okay, well, I've just been asked to speak for a few short minutes just on my first year, basically, with the team, the Clonavon FC team. And basically at the start of the year, or start of the season for Clonavon FC, when they started training and stuff, it was announced in the church here that they were looking for more helpers to get involved with the team because of the great amount of numbers they had with the boys. So, and I'd prayerfully thought about it for a long time previous and had spoken with my wife about it and just thought it was the right thing to do to join as a helper. So I joined the team, told William, and just what struck me from the very start of the season is just the professionalism that the guys, how they go about their business. The coaches have been first class. We started our first few training nights and stuff at Smithfield there, and then moved into the academy. And just going through all the drills and warm-ups, and even as we've come along to playing the matches and stuff, I was very impressed with the coaches. I was really enjoying helping out, you know, in whatever way I could, putting out cones, being there for lifts, you know what I mean. And the boys are fantastic to work with, I have to say. Like, it's just great to see the numbers every week, because we get for between, you know, 23 and 25 boys, roughly averaging every week there at training. Even what's impressed me is when we don't have a game on at the weekend, the boys still show up, and just the way they take everything in, and you see them sort of developing on the football side of things is absolutely fantastic, and I felt this is a great work. I knew about it for a long time before I started helping, but I felt the Lord challenging me on my heart to become a part of Coaching for Christ, and I felt I put it off for a long time. But there's a verse in the Bible that I cling to very much when I'm making decisions on doing things or when I'm prayerful. And it's Mark 16, verse 15, which reads, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And every time I feel like sitting on the sidelines, as it were, I bring this verse up in front of me and I'm prayerful and think, you know, Lord, it's the easiest thing in the world. You know, sometimes it's the easiest thing in the world to be a Christian, just to come to church and sit there and take everything in and constantly take in what the minister says and the worship and everything. But sometimes it's just that bit harder when you put yourself out there to stretch yourself and to serve the Lord. And I just think that Coaching for Christ as an organization was a fantastic way for me to serve the Lord, because again, if you ask my wife Ruth, she'll tell you that I love football, and from my own background, I've worked with boys and boys' brigade and young people in youth fellowship, and just working with these guys has been fantastic, very fulfilling, and just to be able to serve the Lord in this way, I love the training, but most importantly, I love the fact that every single week that God's Word is shared with the boys, and I thank the other coaches too for the privilege that has been mine to share as well. It's the most important thing in life for these boys to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is their own and personal Savior, and I think Coaching for Christ is a fantastic way of doing that, because as you know, football globally is a sport known all around the world and very popular, and many boys enjoy taking part in it, and I think this the work and outreach is brilliant. So it's my privilege to be involved, and now recently after speaking with the director, Stephen Crawford, to become in part properly, a full coach now. I'm a great believer in, if you're going to do something, especially for the Lord, you know, give it your all, put everything in. And that's not just Coaching for Christ here tonight, but in general, I think you should put your all into it. And I'm like really looking forward to being trained and stuff, so that I can give the boys the best opportunity too, you know, to learn their football, but just to learn about the Lord too. So, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Andrew. And as you can see, our adopted colour. Some of the boys wear the sweatshirts of the church website and Coaching for Christ website. Some of us have jackets as well. I have a jacket even that. Stand on the sidelines and shout myself hoarse on a Saturday, and so it's great from time to time to go to the matches. And of course, you can see the actual coaches are in the colours of Coaching for Christ itself. So we're going to sing again, and then Colm is going to come and interview boys. I'm not sure how many boys. I'm sure it's not them all, but there'll be two or three anyway. So we're going to stand and sing, "These Are the Days of Elijah," declaring the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Are we on? Yes. Okay. You're in for a real treat now, because this is the turn for the boys to come up. I'm going to interview them, so we'll have... just get my notes here. Curtis, Philip and Adam, please come up to the front. I'm going to interview you. All right. Okay. Now, I think, first of all, we'll start with, obviously the parents know these boys, obviously. So I think it's important that you get to know these boys as part of the team. They're part of Coaching for Christ Carnarvon. So I'm going to hand the mic and just give your name, your age, and what school you go to, and if you're from Ballymena or maybe you're from away as far as maybe Portland Owen. All right?
My name's Philip, and I'm 13, and I go to Dunclog. I knew Rodney from Ballykale, from the development centre, and then he moved to Carnarvon, and then Ballykale closed down, and then I went to Carnarvon.
Okay. I'm Curtis, I'm 12, I go to Slemish, and I'm from Horrible.
I'm Adam, I'm 12. I go to Dunclog College, and I live in Ballykale.
Okay, thanks, guys. Now, I have prepared questions for them. Now, don't worry, whenever I ask the questions, it'll not be the case of yes, no, yes. I have prepared these. I've been in contact with the parents back and forward through text messages, and I've sent these questions to the boys prior, so hopefully they'll have good, long-established answers and not just yes and no. So first of all, we'll ask Curtis. Curtis, first question for you was, what would be the highlight of your Coaching for Christ football career so far?
Probably scoring 2 goals at the start of the season.
See how long and varied that answer is. Okay. And I think, Philip, you answered your first question there. I was going to ask Philip this first question. Was you changed from Ballykale to Carnarvon? He came from Coaching for Christ Ballykale, came to Carnarvon this year. And the question was, were you nervous? And I think you knew. He answered it there even before I asked him. All right, so we'll go to Adam. Adam, your first question is, do you enjoy the talks the coaches prepare each week?
Yes, I do. It's very interesting, the coaches, their backgrounds, their... how they became Christians and how they became to join CFC Carnarvon.
Okay, question 2. There's only 2 questions each. Kids think you're here all night. Okay, Curtis, what has been your most enjoyable game for Carnarvon this year?
Probably the first game of the season. I thought we played very well, and then got the win in the end. So, yeah.
Good stuff, Curtis. Okay. And Philip, your second question is goal. Now, Philip's our goalkeeper. Maybe I should have said that at the very beginning. Philip's our goalkeeper. Curtis plays centre back for us, and Adam would sort of play right back for us as well. So Adam's our goalkeeper. Sorry, Philip's our goalkeeper. And his second question is goalkeeping your favourite position, or what position would you like to play in? And here's Philip's answer.
It's my favourite position because there's not much running to do and you get to handle the ball. And if you save a shot, then you get praise for it. And then you get to wear a different colour from the rest of the team.
Thank you, Philip. Philip likes to be different, doesn't he? Just sort of stand out from the crowd. So, and our last one then is a young Adam, and what I asked him was, Carnarvon are top of the league. Do you think we can stay there?
Yes, I do think we can stay there because William picks us a good team every week, and maybe some players aren't happy about it, but it's tough for him because there's 30 of us. So, but I think he does pick a good team to beat teams every Saturday.
Okay, guys, thank you very much indeed. You can take your seats again. So I think a few issues there needs resolved in this Carnarvon team. So there is. That's all I'm going to say tonight. I just want to take this opportunity to thank the church for supporting us as a team, financially, most important, prayerfully as well. And I think that's me finished. So I'm just going to hand over to the minister again. Yep, okay.
Thank you, Colm. And I must say, those three boys do very well. In fact, they all do very well. Many times that I've seen them. We're just going to have our church announcements now. And again, let me give you all a very, very warm welcome indeed. It's good to see Stephen Crawford here, the founder of Coaching for Christ. And to invite or to welcome our speaker, Mr. Owen Patterson. I have known Owen all his life. I used to babysit him, believe it or not, him and his older brother by a few years, Andrew. And I started work for his father as an apprentice plumber in April 1975. Wee Owen was only 6 months old in the high chair.
Still is lovely.
He's the same hairstyle now as he had when he was 6 months. It was a wee bit lighter, but... So it's lovely to meet up with him again. And that they're both saved and going on with the Lord. And no one is involved in the Lord's work. So we're looking forward to his message from the Lord tonight. And don't rush away, please. After the service, there's a light supper prepared. And so you can stay behind, please, for that. Our church announcements. Let me just say, if you don't go to church or are not a regular church attender or have no church connection, we're here every Sunday, 11:30, 6:30, and you're made welcome at any time to any of our activities here. On Tuesday at 8:00 is our prayer meeting and Bible study when Christians would meet for prayer and to study more of the Bible. We're going through the book of Philippians at the moment on Tuesday nights. We preach from different things as well. I started to look at Romans chapter 8 this morning, and that'll take us a few weeks. And so we do things like that, just expound God's word and how relevant it is for us today. It's not a book that's out of date by no means, but it's for the Christian life, and it's for every generation of life until the Lord returns again. Wednesday night at 6:30 is the Kids Club. This is a good news club, a children's club. And again, children around P7 down are invited to our Kids Club at 6:30 to 7:30. And then once a month, there's a ladies' fellowship. It's usually around the third Wednesday night of the month, the ladies' fellowship. When the ladies from the church and some from other churches would come along, there's a different speaker. And the speaker this month is Mrs. Muriel Sterling, who represents family care in cancer, a Christian outreach. I don't think there's a family here that has not been touched with this rife disease of cancer, and yet there's Christian help there, and so Muriel will be along to tell of that. Next Sunday at 10:15, the Sunday school and Bible class, and again, boys and girls come to hear more of the Bible at their level. And then our service is 11:30 and 6:30, when I will be the speaker, and then our time of prayer before our evening service at 6:10. And we have other activities as well, like supporting and being involved in Coaching for Christ and so on. And there's a men's Christmas dinner and a ladies' Christmas dinner. And the men's is the 30th of November and the ladies' is the 7th of December, both up at the Ross Park Hotel. And the sheets are there on the vestibule table to put your name down, to choose your menu. If you want to come along, then you give us your £20 and you can come along. And so these are nights that we have together. So these are all the announcements, and we'll bring our offerings to support the Lord's work. And during this time, Sam Scott is going to sing a solo. And afterwards then, Rodney Scott will will have a prayer and then speak about the church support for Coaching for Christ.
I came home like a stone, and I fell heavy into your arms. These days of dust, which we've known, will blow away with this new sun. I'll kneel down, wait for now. I'll kneel down, know my ground. I will wait for you. I will wait for you. So break my step and relent, 'cause you forgave and I won't forget. Know what we've seen and him with less. Now blow away all this excess. 'Cause I will wait for you. And I will wait for you. I will wait for you. And I will wait for you. No, I'll be bold as well as strong, and use my head alongside my heart. So take my flesh and fix my eyes, and let my set free from the lies. 'Cause I'll kneel down, wait for now. I'll kneel down, know my ground. Raise my hands and paint my spirit gold. Bow my head and feed my heart slow. 'Cause I will wait for you. And I will wait for you. And I will wait for you.
Well, folks, on behalf of the church, can I just again repeat the welcome to you all this evening, both as our own folks and as visitors, and particularly to the boys of the Clonavon Coaching for Christ FC. You're very welcome. It's great to see you along this evening. And I trust that as well as enjoying the football on a Saturday and the training on a Tuesday and the messages that the coaches bring you there, I hope that you'll always feel a sense of connection to our church as we feel to you, and to be able to feel free to come along to any services, special services or regular services, anything that's held in the church, there's always an open welcome extended to you as well. If I was to follow the pattern of what Colm did with the boys, then simply for those of you who wouldn't know me, as I don't know all of you, my name's Rodney Scott. I'm not in my teens anymore, so that'll do for my age. I still go to school because I'm a teacher in Ballymoney High School, so I've still that privilege along with you boys of turning up Monday to Friday in our place of learning. But I also am church secretary and help with the Sunday school here in the church. And it's on behalf of the church tonight that I make you welcome. And that I continue to pledge the help of the church and the support of the church to you as boys and to your coaches and your workers in the Coaching for Christ team. We've had links to Coaching for Christ for a number of years now. Over a number of years, some of the members, William and Colm and Rodney in particular, who are members here in the church, they would have been connected to the Coaching for Christ work. And they had it on their heart to start a team that would be connected directly here to our own church and would serve boys in this area, or indeed throughout the town, boys with whom they had contact. And a couple of years ago now, not this summer, but the summer before, they came along and we met together and we talked about it and we prayed about it together here in the church. And just as they were thinking that they would like to start a team here connected with the church, then we as leaders in the church felt the same thing in our heart too. Because when the Lord wants you to do something, He'll put it in your heart, He'll put it in your mind, and He'll put it in the mind of others too, that your thoughts come together under His direction and you feel sure it's the right thing to do. And we felt led as a church, as they felt led as fellows, to start up a team connected here to the church. And so your team, lads, carries our name, Clonavon FC, because Ballymena Congregational Church sits here in the Clonavon district, this part of Ballymena. And that's where your name has come from, Clonavon FC. And we as a church pledge to pray for the team, that the Lord would bless the team and gather a group of boys together. And in fact, as William and Colm would say when they started it, they weren't sure just what size of a team, even if they would have a team of 11, or if it might be 5-a-side to start with. But they had more than 11. They had a good solid team started and played throughout last season. And that has continued. Indeed, it has grown in the numbers of you boys who are part of the team this particular year. And not just growing in numbers, but it has to be said on the football field, growing success too. And we're not boasting, because the fellows wouldn't do that, but you are top of the league, so well done. You're obviously training hard and playing well, scoring well and winning your games, and top of the league. I think you've only had defeat once in the course of the season so far, because we're interested in you and we follow the scores and we get regular reports and updates, and Matthew keeps putting the information there on the church website too, so you can always look up things to do with the church as well as your own team there on our church website. And it is an absolute joy and a privilege for us as a church to be connected with you and to support you, to know about you, to have an interest in you, to pray for you, to support your coaches who are your coaches as well as our friends and members here in the church, and to support you with money. Every good team on the pitch needs a good team off the pitch, and everybody knows that. That's all about a successful football team, and you need your sponsors. So maybe that's where we fit in. We're certainly not players, and we're certainly not coaches or managers, and we don't interfere in the dressing room. We don't do that. But we like to supply your needs and meet your needs and support you practically. And so your kit and your equipment and different things that you need, we are very pleased as a church to provide the finance, to provide the money that fits behind that, to support your team as well as to support the work of Coaching for Christ in general. That's our privilege, boys, and it delights us to see so many of you here tonight. Also to know that you come along regularly every Tuesday to your training and you get the message there, the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, who can be and wants to be your saviour, come into your heart, make a difference in your young life, and continue with you through all the days of your life, making a difference, a positive difference to your life. And I know that your contact with Coaching for Christ will have a positive influence in your lives, spiritually as well as physically, in the playing of your sport. And you know, boys, that you have our thoughts and our prayers and our best support behind you, and our coaches and helpers know that too. So we pray the Lord's blessing on you and on the work of Coaching for Christ, and it's marvellous to have you all together here this evening for this special service. Let's just now have a short word of prayer together. Our God and our Father, we thank you that you know us all, that you're interested in us all, that you love us, that you care about us. The Bible says even the hairs on our head are numbered. That's how much you know about us. And Lord, you made this world. You made it in all its detail. You made it in all its fineness. You made it in all its grandeur. But you haven't abandoned it. There's a lot of sin in the world. A lot of wrong things go on in our world. We hear about them and see them every day of our lives. But Lord, we thank you that there's a remedy for sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, who can take away our sins and come into our hearts and lives and make us new and give us life in all its fullness and a promise of eternal life. And he offers that to us all, no matter what age we are. But as we've heard already tonight from the Bible reading by Matthew, he calls on us to remember him and what he has done for us and what he can do for us while we're young. So we pray for our boys in the Clonavon team. Bless them. Help them to enjoy their sport. Keep them fit and well. Keep them as good friends and teammates together. But we pray, Lord, too, that as they hear the message from the Bible each week, they'll learn the stories and learn the lessons and keep them in their minds. And it'll be a good influence upon them for God and for good through all the days of their life. We pray that they'll come to trust Christ personally. And we pray and thank you, Lord, that as a church, you're helping us to help them. And we pray for the work of Coaching for Christ all over this area and indeed further afield too, because some of our very own people have gone abroad to other places to coach young children in Africa and South America too. It's all part of the world interest in football, but it's all part of the world's need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And be with our speaker tonight. Bless him as he brings the message and help us to listen and remember well. And all our prayers we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we're going to sing another praise and then Owen is going to speak. When I was lost, you came and rescued me, reached down into the pit and lifted me. O Lord, such love.
Yeah. Good evening. Good to see you. It's nice to be in Ballymena. It's not often I think I've been in Ballymena once. I've been through it in the train. I've drove past it. But when you live somewhere as lovely as Newton Ards, it is very hard to leave it. The North Down Riviera. Any of you have been there, you'll know what it's like. Beautiful. But I came here under false pretenses tonight. I thought I was coming to preach to Glenavon Football Club. But then when they told me it was top of the league, something started to go wrong in my head. I thought, that mustn't be where I'm going at all. It's lovely to be with you this evening. Now, I was a school teacher. My name's Owen. I was a school teacher up until about 4 or 5 years ago, and then I went into the ministry in the Presbyterian Church. And as a school teacher, mainly you go to school every day, but as a minister, you spend a lot of time in people's houses. And the one thing that I have noticed over the last couple of years is people's ornaments. See the ornaments they have now? It's mad and varied what different people have. You go in and there's some women who collect these little houses that are like little bungalow things, and they're a fortune, each of them, and they'll have them all sitting across the mantelpiece. I was in a house last week that had a full-sized Dalmatian dog, a China Dalmatian dog, full-sized. Some houses sitting with Laurel and Hardy, full-sized on the bench to either side of it. Women with big dresses. I go to a man to see a man, and he's got lorries in his house. But I've got with me an ornament that is from our house, and it is so lovely that my wife insists I keep it in the shed. And I want to show it to you. Would you like to see it? No, sorry. Would you like to see it?
Yes.
Well, I'll show it to you. This is the ornament I have that my wife insists I keep it in the shed. Now, that is called a snake on a stick. And any of you seen one of those before? Well, what I want to tell you tonight is that all of you most likely have seen that this week. All of you have most likely seen it last week. And you see it nearly every single week of your life. I'll explain to you how and why in a few moments. Could I give that to one of you girls to hold there? Well, you're young. You're right stronger than those ladies there. Hold on. I give that just a hold there. Good man, a man. Now, you will see it on the side. How many people have seen an ambulance in the last week? How many people have been to hospital? Doctors? Chemists? You will see that again and again on the sides. Every ambulance in Northern Ireland will have a snake and a stick on the side of it. There's my first aid book. On the very front of it, you'll have a snake on a stick. If you go to the Royal Victoria Hospital, there is a 25-foot snake going up the outside of the new building. And if you grab it by the tail, you can spin it. And the people upstairs in the restaurant can see the head spinning round as you're spinning it. But if you do it 5 or 6 times, security come out, chase you. But the idea of it is, I'm going to explain to you exactly why that is and why there's a snake in the stick so that you'll be able to answer what that's about. Why would you put a snake in a stick on the ambulance? Why would you stick it on a medical book? Why would you stick it in the chemist? Why is that? But more importantly, the next time you see a snake in a stick and you look at an ambulance, the question I want you to ask yourself is, am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? Because that's the most important question out of any question you'll ever ask in your entire life. More important than who you'll marry, more important than who you'll work or what you'll work at, what you'll do for a living. Because all those things, who you marry, if you marry a nice girl, if you marry a nice fella, that'll only last a lifetime. But the question of whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell will last forever. Now, what I'm going to speak on tonight is taken from the Bible in two passages, in John chapter 3 and in Numbers chapter 21. All part of the same story. But it starts with Jesus teaching people. And Jesus' ministry started off where he was going out throughout the countryside and he was going around meeting with mostly people who didn't go to church. The religious people came along because they were curious and wanted to find out about it. So they came along to have a bit of a nosy. But Jesus was along talking to prostitutes. He was talking to tax collectors. He was talking to the average Joe on the street. And he was teaching them about the things of God, how you could get to go to heaven. An amazing thing. But the religious leaders, the religious people of the day, started to pay attention and they thought, what is this man? Who is he? He's going to do us out of a job. He's doing miracles. He's got power that we don't have. He's able to do things and he says things in a way that we can't say them. So they were paying an interest. And John chapter 3 tells us about a man who came to see Jesus. And this guy came at night time. Do you have any idea why he would come at night? If you were going somewhere and you went at night, why would you go at night? You don't want anybody to see you. That's right. This guy was embarrassed. His name was Nicodemus. I don't know if he was Irish. Nicodemus. But I don't know if he was Irish. He could have been. But Mr. O'Demus, Nick, went to see Jesus at night. And he came along and he was really concerned. He thought to himself, how can I get to heaven? He thought he was good enough. He was reading his Bible. He was being a good person. He was giving to the poor. He was even in charge of a church. He was even in charge of the church over the whole country. He was the teacher of Israel. And this guy didn't know whether he was getting into heaven. And when he seen Jesus, he knew that he had something that he didn't have. And so he came to Jesus at night and he said, Jesus, you're a fabulous teacher. A really great teacher. We really love to hear the things. You couldn't do the things you're doing, Jesus, unless you were from God. Do you know, Jesus said something funny to him. He said, Nicodemus, unless you're born the second time, you can't get into heaven. Nicodemus thought, what are you on about? He says, look at me. I'm a grown man. Look at my wee mummy. You want me to get a second time into my mummy's tummy? It wouldn't work, Jesus. That's just stupid. He says, Nicodemus, you shouldn't be surprised at me saying you need to be born twice. He said, you're a teacher in Israel, and you have no idea what I'm talking about. You're the one who's out teaching other people, and you haven't got a clue. And so Jesus said something to him to trigger off his mind. He says, Nicodemus, just the same way that the snake was lifted up on a stick in the desert, so the Son of Man is going to be lifted on a stick. And if you look to him and believe in him, you'll have everlasting life. You'll get to heaven. Nicodemus started to think to himself, stick, stick, snake in a stick. He says, I know that. I know that passage. He says, I've read that a load of times. It's in Numbers chapter 21. He says, that happened to our ancestors a couple of thousand years ago. And so he started to think through the story. Moses had been leading the children of Israel. These were God's people. And he had been leading them up out of the land of Egypt. They'd been in slavery in Egypt. They'd had an awful time and they were for hundreds of years in slavery and bondage. And they cried out to God and God heard their cry. He brought them up out of the promised land. They didn't do what they were told to do. And God sent them out into the desert for 40 years. And for 40 years these people had trudged backwards and forwards in the forward in the desert. Every day God provided food for them. Every day God met their needs. And after 40 years God decided to take them back up into the promised land. The people were walking and all they had to do was cut across this little shortcut across a country called Edom. And so they sent word ahead to the king and they said to the king, King of Edom, can we take a shortcut across your country? We'll go up the main road, we won't touch any of your stuff, we won't steal anything, we won't eat anything, we just want a shortcut. And the king said, if you come through here, I'll kill you, every one of you, stone dead. And so he got the army together, put them all together, and they had to walk all the way round, hundreds of miles round the land of Edom, right out into the desert. And so they trudged along, the people, and they started to gurn. That was something they were really good at. They were a load of whingers. What's this like? Wouldn't it be better if we died back in Egypt? Why didn't you let us die back there? He says, we're out here, we've got no food. We've got no water. And as for that stinking food God provides for it, we're sick of eating it. And so they started to complain about Moses, and they complained about God. And God did something. He heard what they were saying. And in amongst the camp, he sent thousands of venomous snakes. Now, what happens if you get bit by a venomous snake? Poisonous snake, what happens if it bites you? You'll die. This is before the days of hospital and anti-venom. You'll die. And it's a painful death too, an awful death. And so what happened was, somebody got up to go and get a biscuit one morning, hand in the jar. Something bit them. Next thing, wee Johnny looks at his hand and he, outside, half an hour later, he's dead. Mummy and Daddy are off to bury Johnny. Johnny's granny goes to put on her sandals, in the morning gets out of bed, puts her foot down, bitten. Johnny's granny's dead. And so the hundreds of people started to die in the camp, all because they were whinging and crying out against God. And the snakes came in and they went everywhere and the people started to cry out as they were out burying people and they were saying, what on earth is going wrong? We never had problems like this before until we started to moan against Moses and God. Oh, what were we doing? And so they went back and they went to see Moses and they said, Moses, will you pray for us? Pray for us, Moses. And will you ask God to take the snakes away? We're sorry that we complained against you. We're sorry we complained against God. Ask God to take the snakes away. And Moses said, that's all right. I will do that. I'll pray for you. And so Moses got down and he started to pray. And do you know what happened? What do you think happened? You would think that, wouldn't you? You think the snakes would go away, but it's not what happened. God said to Moses, I tell you what to do, Moses. I want you to make a snake. I want you to take that snake and hammer it out of bronze. I want you to stick it on a pole. And take that pole and stick it out in the middle of the camp. Stick it up really high. Really high. Good man. And he says, anybody that's bitten by the snake, if they come out and they look at the snake and a stick, no matter where they are in the camp, if they come out and have a look at it, they'll be healed. They'll be healed. And so Moses got to work and he hammered out the snake and he put it up on the pole. And it was true. Anybody that looked to the snake was healed. But I wonder what you'd think if somebody came out in the morning and they got bit by a snake and he looked at his hand and goes, well, it's only one wee bite. I heard Ricky up the road got four bites. He's the sort of boy who needs to go and look at a snake and a stick. He says, I don't really need to go. That's only a wee bite I've got. What do you think would happen to a boy like that? What do you think would happen to him? He would die. What would happen if somebody came along and they said, well, they got bit by a snake, but you know, I'm really busy today. Really busy. I've got football at 3. I need to get over to my granny's after that for my tea. I've so much on. I'll go tomorrow. What do you think would happen to a boy like that? He'd die. That's exactly right. That's exactly what would happen. And boys and girls, that is exactly what happened to the people. Anybody that looked to the snake and a stick was healed. Anybody that didn't look wasn't. Now back to the original story. It's Jesus telling the story. He said, Nicodemus, do you remember Nicodemus? He said, you need to remember the snake and a stick if you're going to get to heaven. And so he's starting to think, well, what's the snake and a stick got to do with me getting to heaven? Because Jesus said the Son of Man is going to be lifted up on a stick. And he said, anybody who believes in the Son of Man and puts their trust in him will have eternal life. That means they will get to go to heaven. Jesus came into the world. He was going to go and die on a tree. It wasn't a surprise to Jesus. Oh no, poor Jesus didn't get up one morning and say, oh no, isn't this awful? I have to go to the cross today. What a surprise. From his birth, he knew that's where he was going. That's why he came. To pay the price for sin. For anybody who has sinned. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Just like that snake bite. If we have one sin, you imagine Johnny sitting saying, I've only got one bite. I meet people who say to me, you know, I'm not that bad. You need to speak to her down the street. She's really awful. She does lots of bad stuff. And he do very little things, white lies and things like that. One sin means death, separation from God forever. And the Bible says all of us have sinned. You can have somebody with their hair nicely combed, a nice shirt and tie on. It doesn't make any difference. In here, we're all sinners. We're all exactly the same, with that same bent towards wickedness and doing wrong against God's law. And God came in to provide a way for each of us to go to heaven. Can you imagine somebody saying, well, you know, I'm going to become a Christian when I'm older. I'm going to do that. I know it's right. I know I need to go to heaven. I know, but you know, it ruined my fun at the minute. I'll leave it till later on. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. So, folks, the next time you see that snake and a stick, when you're passing an ambulance, you look out for those snakes. It's a sign of healing. That's why the hospitals have taken it up, because the people who looked at the snake were healed. But the next time you look at that snake, I want you to ask yourself that question. Am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? That is the only important thing. From the very youngest of people here to the very oldest, all of us have a date set on which we will die. As sure as you're born, you'll pass from this life into another. You'll stand before God and he'll either be your savior or he'll be your judge. And boys who come to the football, adults as well, this is the prayer of Christ himself, that you would come. He's not willing that anybody would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. That involves coming to Christ, confessing our sin, and turning away from it to follow after him. Folks, that is what life is all about. You find that, you find true life. That fellow Nicodemus, I don't know what happened to him. We meet him again after Jesus died. He saw the snake and a stick. He saw Jesus die on the cross. He was there and he helped bury him. Whether he accepted Christ, whether he rejected him, we'll find out one day. But folks, for you, make sure that you know where you're going. Thanks very much for listening. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you don't leave us guessing at how to get to heaven. Lord, you leave us a surefire way to get there. Lord, Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. So, Father, I pray that you would help each of us to know that in our hearts. Lord, this isn't a fairy tale. It's not a story for children. This is reality. And, Father, if we miss this, we miss what life really is all about. So, Father, I pray that you would apply it to our hearts. Help us more each day just to follow and live for you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks very much, Owen. I asked Owen, was it a couple of months ago? And he was so enthusiastic about coming, and it's a real joy to have him here tonight. And we thank you for your word and how it's challenged us. And can I just say, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus, your Saviour, don't go home. Get right with God tonight. Just at this point, I'm not going to keep you. I just want to say a few words of thanks. Again, I want to thank the church. I know we said it earlier on, but really, as coaches, we can't thank the church enough for what they do for us, both financially, but also prayerfully and the way they look after us. It's really much appreciated. I'm going to thank you as parents. It's great on a Tuesday night standing outside that door at the academy and just seeing the convoy of cars coming up through the drive. I know it's not an easy thing getting out for 6 o'clock, but your faithfulness and the way you send them is really much appreciated. To all the boys, we wouldn't have a team without you boys. And can I just say, it's an absolute privilege, and I mean that to work with each and every one of your children. We just look forward to Tuesday night and to the Saturday and getting working with them, and they're a credit to you, and we thank you for them. And can I personally, I want to thank the coaches for Colm and Rodney and Andrew and Matthew, for Tim and for Jim. They have been such a help, and they're so I haven't missed anything about there. And Calvin, I knew there was something. I knew it was in there. I knew it was going around. I'd miss some. Always do it every year. Gavin as well. These men are there faithfully, week in, week out. And this year I've had to rely on them even more for lifts and all that sort of stuff. And they're so good at it. And I just want to say thank you very much to each and every one of them. And I want to thank also, I've never done this before, I want to thank the wives, or the wags, as somebody called them earlier on. Because like they're washing kits and they're putting up with a lot on a Saturday. They never see us on a Saturday half times. But thank you so much to them as well. I think just at this point, we've got actually a gift for each of the boys as well. It's actually the life story of Kaká, the Brazilian footballer. He's a born-again Christian, and it tells how he came to the Lord. So they're going to get a copy of that each tonight, and we just pray that they'll take it home and they'll read it. Not only them, you have a read out too, and just see what the Lord has done in his life. So I think Rodney's going to come up and give me a wee hand here. Right, boys, I'll call your name out, just you make your way up here, and we'll get you one of these books, all right. Joyce Lowry. Joyce plays sweeper at the back and never misses a tackle. Is that right, Joyce? Yeah. And Tim Lowry, his brother. This is Tim's first year with us, and he's coming on really, really well. Very skillful, and I couldn't keep up with him. He's very fast as well. Philip Robinson. She heard Philip. He's the goalkeeper. Good, steady pair of hands. Adam McKelvey. Adam came to us from Ballykeel last year after. Adam's a super wee player. He plays it right back. He actually played up front and scored two goals as well. So that can't be bad. That was our training at Ballykeel, that's right. Jack Dawson. Jack came to us from Ballykeel as well. A wee midfield dynamo. He runs up and down that pitch on a Saturday. And at training, I don't know how he managed it, but very skillful. And he scored a really good free kick the other Saturday. Dylan McKelvey, another of our Ballykeel men. Dylan has done goals and played out and scored against Newton Abbey, and he really enjoyed that because that was his ex-coach. Isn't that right, Dylan? Yep. Luke Russell. This is Luke's first year with us, and he came along, and Luke is a super wee player. Great left foot on him. He likes a tackle. Sam Armstrong likes a wee moan on a Tuesday night, having to do a lot of running, but he likes to score goals as well. He was scared he was going to have to speak the night. I got a text message after him, don't ask me to speak. Jacob Penny. Jacob is our right back, and have you ever seen a harder right back at tackles? This is the man. Never lets you down. Curtis Michael Haga. This is Curtis' first year. Just came to us and plays centre back. And I think he scored one of the goals of the season this year so far. A volley from the edge of the box, would you describe it as? Corey Woolahan. Corey's first year. Very, very skillful. He was at Ballykeel last year as well, but one of the most skillful boys in the squad. And David Johnson, Mr. Ballymena United himself. I call him Glenn's right-hand man. No, he wouldn't say it after yesterday. I'd be interested to see what you say after yesterday, David. But David plays right back as well, and super wee player. Adam plays a bit of rugby, and he's one of the strongest boys in our panel. Boys bounce off him. And Tyler Gordon. Tyler's there as well, isn't he? Tyler's first year. Tyler's only been with us for 5 or 6 weeks now, and he's coming on really, really well. So I hope he's enjoying it. Now, please tell me, is that everybody, or have I missed anybody? No, right, thankfully. All right, Raymond, it's over to you, sir.
Thank you. I'm sure the boys that aren't here tonight will get their copy. And boys, I must tell you something. That Owen's father, in about the late 1960s, was goalkeeper for Distillery. Isn't that right? And I'm sure there's some of the older generation. I mean, he gave your father awful abuse up at those showgrounds there on a Saturday afternoon. You know, there's bound to be. Yeah, called him for everything. But there you are. So, again, don't rush away, because we're going to have a cup of tea here in the back hall, and we're going to close with another hymn of praise. Come now is the time to worship, and we're going to sing it through twice. pray, Lord, that that invitation will be heeded tonight. In the words of Jesus, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Lord, as we see this symbol from time to time, may it remind us of what we have heard tonight about the snake on a pole, about a Savior on a cross. And we pray that all shall realize that that is the only way that we can gain entrance to heaven, is by way of the cross. So bless us now, Lord, and bless us as we have refreshments, and do bless our time together. These things we ask in our Saviour's precious and most worthy name. Amen.